It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And here we are, Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, a new Sefer. And we're going to talk about the very famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. And we're going to ask a lot of questions of the Parsha. But as we did last week, we're going to intertwine it with what's going on in the world on a global level, with the coronavirus, how it's affecting the whole world, and how we can mechazik and strengthen ourselves. There's a very famous machlokes found in the Parsha and the Sefer Vayikra about what is the idea, what is the main thing of karbonos. We all know a karbon represents a sacrifice. What is it all about? So the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam who lived in 1138 to 1204. And again, I don't have zechus. I'm speaking to the recorder here because we're stuck in our houses. And I'm going to put it on the recording, put it on YU Torah for the Olam to listen to. But again, this has been obviously a difficult time for everyone, but we're going to try to be mechazik ourselves. So back to the Rambam. The Rambam, who lived in 1138, 1204, the great Rambam, who wrote the Mishneh Torah, the 14 books, taking everything from the Gemara. The Rambam, who wrote so many works, but he wrote an amazing work called the Mor Nevuchim. And the Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, talking about all his philosophy and all his different ideas, talks about karbonos, and it's found in Gimel, Simen Lamed Beis, and also Membov. Okay, look, Gimel, Lamed Beis, Membov. And the Rambam says something fascinating. He says, you know why we have karbonos? Because the Egyptians used to worship the sheep. And also other people used to use it for idolatry, for Avodah Zarah. And he says, even nowadays in India, they don't slaughter their cows. And therefore, we go and offer karbonos to Hashem in order to deny Avodah Zarah, to deny idolatry. That is the Shita of the Halakha Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon. Comes along the Ramban, Nachmanides, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, who lived in Spain, who lived in 1194 to 1270. And the Ramban quotes the Rambam. Again, the Rambam is older than the Ramban. The Ramban quotes him a lot. And the Ramban vehemently disagrees. It's found in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. And the Ramban says that I disagree with you, Rambam. Rambam, you're saying that the whole idea is based on Avodah Zarah. It's not based on Avodah Zarah. It's based on something more on a Kabbalah level. Again, we're going to ask the kashas of the Ramban. But the Ramban says that a carbon, there's three different elements of a carbon. There is one, the maisa, to actually go. And he says you do smicha, you lean on the carbon. The Gemara's in Shabbos talk about, and the Gemara's in Chulin, that you do smicha on the carbon. That's maisa. And then there's an idea of dibor, where you go and you vidor, you confess what your sins are. If you bring a carbon mincha, you say that I did a sin. And then there's an element of dealing with the klayos. The Gemara in Chulin says that klayos represents the kidneys, which deals with our emotions, our thoughts. That's machshava. So says the Ramban that a karbon is on a very deep level. It has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, but it's more this idea of taking our machshava with our maisa, our thoughts, with our maisa, with our actions, and also with our dibor, and connecting it to the Ribbono Shel, and realizing that Hashem has given us everything. The Arizal beautifully says that the Mincha Karbon represents, again, we're getting into Vayikra, we're getting into all the details of all the Karbonos. It's very detailed, but Baruch Hashem, it's great. 20% of the Torah, so we got to learn it. We learn it nicely. I know usually they only learn it in Brisk, in Zvachim, Menachos. I had Zechus to learn a little in Mir Yeshiva, but there's so many details, and it's 20% of the Torah, Vayikra. So we have to learn it well. And the Arizal says something amazing. He says that the Menachos Karbon represents the meal offering. And it's talking about the plant kingdom. And we know that we put salt Salt represents the mineral kingdom. And the Arizal says in Zvachim, which is talking about the Karbonis, the slaughtering, that's the animal kingdom. And the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Chelek Beis, Os Yedalid, that the whole idea is to bring Shemayim to Oretz, to bring the lofty, to bring the Shemayim, the heavenly, and bring it down to the mundane and the Beis HaMikdash. So very nice, we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Comes along the Heiliger Ramban, and the Ramban asks three kashas on the Rambam. Kasha number one. Again, we're going to only get to stories, but you know, everyone's getting, whoever's listening is getting scared. You know, it's Lom Dishashir, what's going on? But again, we have to know the Taira. We have to know the Taira. So the Ramban says three kashas. First of all, our Torah is not reaction to anything. We look into Hashem looked into the Torah, whatever this means. Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. The Torah is not a reaction. We're not bringing karbonos for a reaction of Avodah Zarah. Question number two. It says Reach Nichoach. It seems like a pleasant fragrance. So if you tell me it's a pleasant fragrance, so what does it have to do with Avodah Zarah? And thirdly, says the Ramban, on the Rambam, we know that the Gemara is in Sanhedrin and Shabbos Chav Ches. Different Gemaras all over the place that say that Adam brought Karbonos and Noach brought Karbonos. There was no Avodah Zarah. Misinai Nesar. The Torah was created from Har Sinai. So what was going on there? Those are the kashas the Ramban asks on the Rambam. I remember when I was once in my father-in-law's class, give out a shout-out to my father-in-law, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, tremendous Talmud Chacham, the Rav Ozi. And I actually was in his class, I was Zaycheh, and he quoted Meshe Chachma, or Meir Simcha Midvinsk, who lived in 1843 to 1926. And the Meshe Chachma defends the Rambam, though the Rambam is really only talking about in the time that they would offer bamas, in a different time, the Gemara Megillah, in different places talks about it, but really in the Beis Hamikdash, the whole essence of the carbon was like the Ramban. So he makes the machlokas, he makes the argument not so big. Question one, what's this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban? On a deep level, on a hashkafa level. What's the Ramban, again, he says that it's the idea of connecting to Hashem with our machshavas, with our thoughts, and the Rambam says that it's Avodah Zarah. On a deeper level, what is this machlokas about? Question two. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Nunches, that we used to have a Mizbeach. We would offer the Karbonos on the Mizbeach. However, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we didn't have a Mizbeach anymore, and therefore we have a Shulchan. Our tables. Now, I don't know the last time that any of you have shechted an animal on your table, or don't offer to the Beis HaMikdash, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But what does a Shulchan, our tables, Rabbeinu Bechai writes, amazing. Rabbeinu Bechai writes that people used to have a custom, they used to take their tables and use it as a coffin. I don't know why I'm saying that now, but the Shulchan has something. But the Gemara in Brachos Nunches, right, Daf Yomi, just finished Brachos. So the Gemara in Brachos says that since we don't have a Mizbeach, now we have a Shulchan. We have a table that we eat at. What does that have to do with anything? And furthermore, we'll call it 2B, because we have a lot more questions, even though I sometimes throw questions in the middle when I'm saying things, but whatever, it says in my bar mitzvah parsha, lo tito lecha asherah kol eitz mizbeach, right? You should not plant an asherah tree, an avodah zarah tree, and it should not be near the mizbeach. What does the asherah tree have to do with the mizbeach? Why specifically, yes, avodah zarah is never good, well, why specifically by the mizbeach? So we'll call that 2B. Question 3. Let's actually get into the... Whoa, it's getting... okay, we have a lot to do. But again, question 3. Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayikroel Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem, Elov, Me'oel Moed Le'mor. He called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, Daber B'nei Yisrael, Marta Lehem, Odom Ki Yakrib Mikem Karbin Hashem. A person should offer a carbon to God. Min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon, takrivo et karbanchem. So right away, question 3. Again, there's so much to do. We're not going to spend an hour here. But there's so much to do. But right in this first pasuk, if you look in the Torah, in the actual Torah, it says, Vayikra with a small aleph. And the obvious question is why. The Baal HaTurim says that the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu was a very humble person. We know at the end of the Torah it says, Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most humble person in the whole ever. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to, you know, take the spotlight. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, even when Hashem came to him, Moshe was like, I'm not going. And still Hashem said, you're going to go. So Moshe wanted a Lashon of Vayikar. But Hashem said to him, listen, you can't have Lashon Vayikar of just like happenstance that it just happened, because we know that Rashi actually brings down that when he revealed him, Nigla Alam Balashon Arai V'Tumah, when he revealed himself to the other nations of the world, i.e. Bilam, it says, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. That it says in Bamidbar, Perachov Gimel Pasuk Dalid, it says, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam, and that was without an Aleph. So Hashem said, listen, Moshe, I can't make it by Yikar. That's Bilam. You're Moshe Abenu. Moshe was like, listen, I don't want it. So they made a pshara. It says about Turim, they made a pshara. And the pshara is that the first letter of Sefer Vayikra will be with a small Aleph. That's an amazing medrash. However, there's another medrash. Another medrash says that the small children represent that small little Aleph, Tinoko Shabet Rabban. And that's why the medrash says that it used to be back in the day that when they would start learning Chumash, I think some schools still do this nowadays, that when they would start learning Chumash, they would teach the children Vayikra, because Taros, and since they're young children, so therefore we want to teach them Sefer Vayikra. And the obvious question is, what's going on? What's this have to do with the children of the little small Aleph, the Medrash? And what's this give and take of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? So again, we have three questions. Again, there's so much to do in Vayikra, but we have to connect it to what's going on in the world and how there's a lot to do. But again, so let's just, again, we have a machlokes between the Rambam versus the Ramban. And we want to know, the Rambam says that the reason why we're being Karbanos, well, again, we have to know this because we're reading Sefer Vayikra. Even if we're not Zaycha to be in Shul, we still have to learn Shnayim Mikra. Maybe there's an added dimension going over the parsha. Again, you got to read the parsha. So there's this idea of Vayikra, karbanos, karev, and we always refer to karbanos as sacrifices. We're sacrificing to God. Like, what does that mean? So karev, what is a karbon? Rambam says avodah zarah. Ramban says, Rambam, you're wrong. What's that going on? What's that deep machlokes? Question two is, since we there's no more of his back, so therefore we have a shulchan, we have a table. What does that have to do with anything? And why you're not allowed to make an Asherah tree near the Mizbeach? And lastly, Vayikra with a small Aleph. So why? Why is that? It's representing the Tinok and Shabbat Rabban. There's something deep going on here. So I think we can answer all these questions from the Yesod from Rav Gedal Yeshur. Rav Gedal Yeshur wrote a beautiful Sefer. He was one of the Gedolim, one of the big Bali Musar. His son, Big Tal Mokochum, Rav Avram Shur, he gives a lot of shiurim on Torah anytime in different places, tremendous Tal Mokochum. And his father was Rav Gedal Yeshur, and he wrote Or Gedaliyahu, and he says that the whole idea of karban doesn't represent sacrifice, because guess what? God doesn't need anything from us. God is God. God is in charge. God runs the world. However, the whole idea of a karbon is karev. Karev represents the idea of closeness. Realizing that we are subservient to Hashem. That Hashem is the one in charge. Hashem is running the show. And we definitely see that nowadays. We definitely see that the Ribbono Shalom is running the show. As we spoke about last week a little, we spoke about this element of bitachon. And yes, it's very difficult. Everyone has a lot of hardships and everyone's dealing with a lot of things. And everyone should be validating everyone else's feelings. No one should say, what's the big deal? Everyone needs to be validated. Everyone's having different nisyonos on a financial level, on just being stuck in your house. Some people being stuck in their house with a lot of kids, a lot of bored kids. Baruch Hashem, not bored, but you know, it's Labor Dick when you're stuck in your house and you're told you're not allowed to go 100 meters. It's Labor Dick. And again, Baruch Hashem, there's been great things going on. A lot of shiurim, a lot of people using Zoom. I was able to use Zoom with my family. A lot of connecting, which we'll talk about soon. But there's this one idea which Rabbi Gedalia Shor is talking about, is how we show that we're subservient to Hashem. We realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one in charge. He's the one calling the shots. And he is the one that is going to decide everything. And says Rabbi Gedalia Shor, this possibly, really, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban is not so great. Although the Ramban really takes on the Rambam and really does not like the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, maybe their machlokes is not so great. Because there's one yesod, as like we're saying now. The yesod is that a karbon is the idea that we're showing that Hashem, we are subservient to you. You are the one in charge. And when the Rambam says that the reason why we're not offering karbonos is because of avodah zarah, he's in the negative. He's afraid that if we get involved, first of all, there was a lot of avodah zarah going on in those days, but the Rambam was afraid, says Gedalia Shor, that if we get involved with the avodah zarah, chas v'shalom, then that will obviously take away our subservience to Hashem, obviously. So the Rambam is obviously saying it's a karbon to get close to Hashem, similar to the Meshech Chochmah. It's to get close to God. But he's afraid that the minute that we have the Avodah Zarah, we have to deter ourselves. We have to show that the Goyim are wrong. We have to show that there's nothing behind what they have. So the Rambam believes that a karbon is karev to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, we have to deny the idolatry. And if you deny your idolatry, then you'll realize that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam running the world. That's what it's all about. When you show that there is nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, Memeilo, you're showing that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam running the world. Now, what does this have to do with our table? So it says the Gvalde Yismach Moshe, that Shulchan Shel Adam is Mechaper. That the Shulchan of a person is Mechaper. Why? First of all, there's different elements. Everyone can think of their own reason. But a Shulchan is a table, a Shabbos table, a Yontif. Pesach's coming up. I don't want to scare anyone. Pesach's coming up. It's a Gevaldik holiday. It's a lot of work, especially with all the craziness going on. But Pesach and all the different Yontifs, your Shulchan, to show your subservience to Hashem. You don't have a Mizbeach anymore. But to show your subservience to Hashem, you have a Yontif meal. Rabbi Gedalia Shor goes saying that no, that, similar to this idea, but he says that when we slaughter an animal, we're showing that the animal kilu is subservient to us. Hashem gave us animals so we could have basar, so we could have the different yayin, the yayineset, to have the different, the wine libations, the idea that we have the meat is subservient to us because we know that the Kuzari says there's different elements, but man is greater than animal. And we show ourselves that we can eat an animal. Hashem's given us the ability to eat an animal. But why does that take the place of a Mizbeach? Because just like the animals are subservient to us, man is in the world, we're subservient to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But again, this element that our tables could bring Kedusha, the Zemiros, the Torah, they're bringing the closest to Hashem, saying brachos out loud. This is all this idea of being close to Hashem, humbling ourselves, humility. Why the Aleph? Why is the Aleph represented by Yikra? What's it all about? So what's a child? You know, there's two elements of a child. You know, when a child's born and he hits a certain age, the child is totally subservient to his parents. His parents are running the show. Right? If you don't change the baby will be dirty. If you don't feed the baby will be hungry. He is totally dependent on his parents. And that's what a child is. Baruch Hashem, I was like, I had great parents. You know, I'm hoping my parents will hear this. But Baruch Hashem, they raised me. And for my job is to give over to, with me and my wife, Connie, to give over to our children and to show and to give them as much as they can. And why? What's the pshat? It's because just like you give as much as you can to your children, it's because why? Because the Rebbeinu Shel is giving so much to us. We're showing that just like a child is dependent on his parents, we're dependent on God. And yeah, it's a little harder. He's not talking to us per se. Because he can't talk. He's not a physical being. But by things happening to us, he's talking to us. So that's the element. That's the element of the Rebbeinu Shel. That just like parents, their child is dependent on their parents, especially when they're at a young age, so too we're dependent on Hashem. However, you know, when a child gets a little older, so I have a lot of children of a lot of different ages. So when a child gets, when they're, let's say, 3, maybe 4, there's this element, okay, a whole separate shmooze, maybe we'll talk about Pesach time, but the whole set, they're so authentic, they're so real. They're not afraid of what other people are going to say about them. You know, they'll say, you know, I'll go over to one of our kids, they'll be like, my 3-year-old will be like, is Tati fat? Does this outfit make me look fat? No, it doesn't make you look fat. You are fat. You know what I'm saying? They'll obviously don't say it to me. I'm saying so now. But they're so real. And then they like hit a certain age that they just start getting nervous about what other people think about them. Which could be good and could be bad. But it's not authentic. Right? The time when you're taking your kid to school, to pre-nursery or to Gan, and you know they're like 5 or 6, like, Tati, you can't hold my hand in public. You let me go by myself to the classroom, which is a great feeling, the independence. But it's more like, oh, you know. But there's an idea of being authentic, because children are real. So there's two ideas. The children, the idea of being dependent, and just like they're dependent on their parents to a certain age. And they're always dependent on your parents, right? So when you're dependent on your parents for a certain age, and then you're showing the Rebbeinu Shel, you're dependent on him. And this idea of being authentic, being real. Now, what's the whole idea? Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem comes to him and says, listen, Vayikra el Moshe. And Moshe says, I don't want Vayikra. I don't need it. I want to run away from Kavod. And Hashem says, no, I can't do Vayikar. Let's do a small Aleph. What does that represent, this ideal also? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, all he wanted was to be subservient to Hashem. He didn't want the fanfare. He wanted to be authentic. He didn't need it. He wanted that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Vayikra, with a small aleph, that shows humility. That shows being humble. That shows, and that's what children need to see this, especially when they're becoming the age of chinuch, that it's about how much hard work and making a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. But it's about being authentic. So there's two ideas here. There's the idea of being depending on the Hashem, where a child is dependent on his parents, and i.e. dependent on Hashem. And also this idea of being authentic. You know, Rosh Yeshiva, I saw in a clip they sent out from Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva Mevaseret, Rav Isaacson. It's beautiful. The Gemara says, the Torah says, this week's Parsha, it says in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, it's talking about the Chatas. And it says by a Karban Chatas, it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kol Mincha Asher Takiv LaHashem, Lo Taseh Chameitz, you're not allowed to put honey. However, what should you put on it? Next puzzle, it says in Yud Gimel, v'chol karba mechasecha b'melech timloch v'lotashme melech bris elokecha. There's an idea of you could put melech, you could put salt on it. Why is that? Because melech, there's a difference between devash, honey, and melech. Devash makes it sweet. You put honey on challah, it takes the challah a little, but it's the sweetness of the honey. By melech, it's taken out. The salt takes out the meat. You're not adding anything to meat. You're taking out the flavor of the meat. You're taking because you're showing what's real here. You don't need to go and camouflage it and to put honey on it. But you need to take out the. And the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Hey, that just like melech takes out the meat, takes out the taste of the meat, so to yisurin, struggles, things happening to a person that doesn't look so good, that makes a person become, and again, no one wants yisurin, chas v'sholom, we don't ask for yisurin upon ourselves, but what's going on in the world right now, craziness, this small little virus became huge, but it's bringing out a lot. And again, a lot of people are going through struggles, and we need to, as we said before, we need to validate people, and it's very hard, and it's difficult, but there's good things coming out also. There's shiurim of Zoom, and people getting together, and I spoke about last week, everyone reaching out to someone, no one should feel alone. Reaching out to old people I haven't spoken to in a long time, one person. You know, I saw a video on Torah Anytime from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, a very famous speaker, and he said that people have to stay in their houses because one person can affect another, and then two, then four, and then eight, and then, you know, 16, and it's a spiral. It could be crazy what could happen. But you could look at the positive also. One person can affect another person, and another person can affect another person. Greatness can happen, but we all need to make action. It's all about making action. No one should feel alone. You know, one time, Rav Shach came into Eishet Torah, and he said, one man could kill 6 million. A Hitler, Yach Shemo, could kill 6 million. One person, says Rav Shach, there's a picture of Shach when he first walked into Eishet Torah, one person could save 6 million. We have the ability for greatness. And we have to realize that. And the melech takes out, because it's like we're talking about, we're trying to make things authentic. Kids are authentic when they hit a certain age. We're trying to be authentic. We're trying to really find ourselves. A lot of us have more time on our hands. We need to find ourselves more. We could do more learning and more tehillim. You know, as my family, we went, you know, again, you know, I got advice from Big Mechanic or Brizak. There's a lot of hours in the day, it's a long day, but if you take just different small parts and you go 15 minutes of just doing Tehillim as a family, it was unbelievable. All the family are saying Tehillim together, 15 minutes. Such an amazing, because the idea is to bring togetherness. And I think this is the idea, to realize that we're submissive to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're dependent on Him. And we realize that's the Yesod here. A carbon is karev. Hashem doesn't need anything from us. Says the great Meshech Chochma, Rameir Simcha Midivinsk, that why does it say, Lo tita lecha ashira koleitz? Because in Asheira, a tree, you need to put water, it needs to be nutrients. A tree, even though it's Avodah Zorah, this Avodah Zorah tree, it's dependent on others. That's false. Hashem is like a mizbeach, He's like a stone. He doesn't need anything from us. But we need Him. And we have the koyach to change things. We have the koyach to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wants to hear our tefillos. And that's the idea. The idea is that He wants, and we don't have karbonos nowadays. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, we're saying we should say Tehillim, right? The Pasuk says in Tehillim, famous Perek Nun Aleph, it says, in Pasuk Yudches, Ki lo techbo zevach v'nethno lo tirtzeh, for you don't desire a sacrifice, and I would give a burnt, I would give you, but you don't want it. But the Pasuk right before, as we say in our davening, Hashem sivasai tiftach ufi agit hilasecha, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. Perek Nun Aleph, Pasuk Yudzayin. We have the ability to humble ourselves. With our tefillos, we have the ability to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have the ability to make ourselves realizing that we can't do anything without Him. And we have so much to daven for. You know, the world is going crazy on an economic level, on a health level. No one knows what's going to be. Everyone's hoping for the best. Different things are, every day is a new day, every week's a new week. But again, yeshivas are still not open. The shuls are not open. We're not, we're davening. One bacher told me that he's davening even better, which is great, but we still don't have our minyanim. We need to realize that we need to daven for it. And we can't just daven. I heard a good thing, that we can't just daven for things to be back where they were. We need to daven for the Mashiach. We need to realize, yeah, realities might have changed, but now more realities are going to change. You know what that reality is going to change? We're going to show our subservience to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to say, Hashem, we need you. We can't do anything without you. You're the only one that can help us. And that is the highest form of tefillah. And it's hard. It's hard to get to that level. Because, again, we still feel that we're in charge and we're in control. But we have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. Ribbono Shel Olam is deciding everything. And we have the koyach. Yeah, and it's distracting. We always, you know, Baruch Hashem, as I said last week, we want to know what's going on. But again, sometimes we need to tune ourselves out. We can't look at our phones every second and the computer every second. It's very distracting. It's very hard to focus. So much. Countries are being affected. And now the United States is being affected in a drastic way. And people are getting sick. And no one knows what's going to be. But we have to, again, be in tune. We can't shut ourselves off from it. But sometimes we just have to close it and say the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that's going to decide. Hashem is in charge. No one else could help. You know, I was talking to my kids, and we read Living Emunah, the idea, again, bringing Emunah into our lives. And I said, tell me a great story about tefillah. I think this week I'm going to talk about tefillah and a karbon. Machlekes, Rambam, and Ramban, they're like that, yeah, we're talking about it. I said, okay, Rambam says, but it's not really, but okay. So I said, give me a beautiful story about tefillah. And they told me, and we'll end with this, it's getting late, that they told me a beautiful story found in Living Emunah for Children, of David Asher, speaks in Torah anytime, that he tells a story that there was a Rebbe Lazar was looking at his watch, and he saw there was an LL flight from Tel Aviv to New York, and he wanted to know, and Baruch Hashem, I'm okay, don't worry, I know I coughed, you just coughed, but I'm okay, and it said right now that flight 204 is now boarding to New York, and it's now boarding, and all the men finished Mincha, and there was a young woman who was still davening, and it's boarding. So the attendant came and said, we're closing the gates. So this Rabbi Lazar, so everyone got on, all the passengers got on, and they were going to take off without this girl. However, everyone boarded, except there was one girl that didn't, and the attendant announced, all the passengers, please get off the plane immediately, there's smoke in the back of the plane, and they'll be fixed shortly. They all left the plane, and they went back. Now Rabbi Lazar saw this young woman, and he's like, listen, you were gonna miss the flight. And there was a nace that there was smoke in the back of the plane, and they told all of us, what, you know, how do you keep on davening, you know, missing a plane? Even I've never done that. So people have, but what's the shot? So she said, my name is Rachel, and I'm not married yet. When I became 30 years old, I decided from that day on to concentrate every word of Shemona Esrei and pray to Hashem for a husband. Today was very hard for me to do it, but I did it. So during that flight, Rabbi Lazar spoke to the flight attendant, this guy Eli, who was about to close the gates. And he said that, he's like, what caused the smoke in the plane? So he said, nobody knows, but everything's fine now and don't worry. So Rabbi Lazar told him this young woman's story, that Hashem probably sent the smoke so that she could make the flight. And Ellie's like, this is crazy. Ellie's like, wow, someone would do that. And Rabbi Lazar looked at Ellie and said, you know, I'm giving some classes in New York. Would you want to come? And Ellie began learning, and he started getting frum. And a year later, Rabbi Lazar was honored to say a bracha under the chuppah at the wedding of Eli and Rachel. And this girl's name was Rachel. Unbelievable. Right? Because he saw a girl. Unbelievable. So, you know, we don't know. That's an amazing story. You know, she davened, thought she was going to, she put all her distractions again. That's a very high level story. But the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. The Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world. And Bezus Hashem, let us keep on getting closer and closer to Him. Realize that with our tefillos,
With our tefillahs, we could change worlds. With our tefillahs, we could change worlds. It's dependent on us. We have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the show. And the more we put into our tefillahs, the more of our tehillim, the more of mechazek our Talmud Torah, the more we're going to get closer and closer to Him. Let us learn from Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra, this idea of karev, closeness, the idea of being dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam, realizing making our shulchan into a mizbeach, and Bezus Hashem, we should only see simchas in Klal Yisrael, and this virus should go away, and we should only get closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos.